Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Those of you that are going to hang out with me today, we are going to continue in our teaching series, The Five Keys of John. And this topic today may seem a little strange. It might come as a surprise to you that we would tackle a subject like this in a series like this. The last couple weeks, we've been on a journey to discover who Jesus is through the Gospel of John. We studied John's testimony about Jesus. We've looked into some of Jesus' own words about himself. And we've also looked to see what the implications for who Jesus is, how that affects and shapes our life today. And maybe you've gotten to follow along on this journey. They're all recorded. You can listen to them on our website if you haven't been able to, and I'd invite you to do so. But maybe you've been following along, listening in, carefully considering what's been said. Maybe you've even been watching the responses of people to your left or to your right. But if you're honest today, you have your doubts. You have your doubts. Maybe you feel a bit uncertain or hesitant to believe that it's all true. Maybe you're questioning if this whole Jesus thing matters for your life today. If that's you, you're in the right place. No doubt about it. See what I did there? I promise I won't do that but 7 or 8 more times. Today, we're going to face our doubts. We're going to face our doubts. I'd be willing to bet that if we were honest today in the room, that we have all dealt with doubt in one way or another. I'd be willing to bet, too, that if we were really honest, we're all dealing with some form of doubt today. To doubt is to call something into question. It's to question the truth of something or to lack confidence. And friends, we encounter doubt all the time in our daily life. For example, if you go to Food Lion here in Elkton and you hand over your hard-earned $20 or $50 bill, the person behind the register grabs a marker from beside the register and they draw a line on it. Why? Doubt. They doubt your money's real. They want to make sure you didn't print that off before you came to the store. That's doubt. That's uncertainty. That's doubt. Doubt is why I look both ways even after the green light comes on. Let's pull out of Food Lion. Y'all are up here with me at Elkton. You're pulling back onto 33, so you're kind of sitting on that downhill incline, Burger King's to your right, and you want to cross all the lanes of traffic to turn left towards Elkton. Yeah, you with me? So when that light turns green, I don't just go plowing out across the traffic. Doubt causes me to ease out into the intersection, watching both directions. Now, I love y'all, but I don't trust you driving. And to be perfectly fair and honest, you should not trust my driving either. I get distracted. We're going to pray for that amen in the back here after a while. But today, the doubt we're talking about is not whether your 50's real, whether you're a good driver or not, or even the phone calls promising you a free vacation. P.S., always doubt that one. We're going to talk about doubts that we have in our faith. The questions or uncertainties we have about Jesus or our life with him. And today, our teaching text, we're going to see that Jesus is not intimidated by even the most defiant doubt. Jesus is not worried that we might have a question he can't answer. He's not worried today. He simply asks that we would trust him with our doubts. That we would trust him. Because we're going to see that what the most important thing about doubt is not whether you have it or you don't. The most important thing about doubt is what we choose to do with it. So today, the invitation is to trust Jesus with your doubts. Let's pray today. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that you are not intimidated by doubt. Lord, there's not a question we're wrestling with that makes you nervous. You're not wringing your hands today. But Lord, you are holding out your nail-scarred hands for us to see. And you're issuing us an invitation. Won't you trust me? Oh, for grace to trust you more today, Lord. So Lord, would you search our hearts today? We really want to bring our doubts before you, Lord, to bring them to the surface and allow faith to rise up to trust you more. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our teaching text today is in John chapter 20. If you want to turn there with me, we're going to have the text on the screen. There's also a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user. John chapter 20 is telling the story, the accounts after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so these events are the first couple of days after Easter, after the resurrection. And we're going to jump in at verse 24 of John 20. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Let's press pause for a second. We really need to catch up with what's happening to bring this story together for us today. Just before our teaching text, the disciples were gathered together on the first Easter evening behind closed doors. They're likely processing the stories that they've heard from those who have seen Jesus. They've seen the empty tomb. They're trying to figure out what all this meant. And then all of a sudden, behind locked doors, Jesus goes from the topic of conversation to standing there with them. He is present. And as we consider that truth today on our journey to discover who Jesus is, we see in this text that in his resurrected body, in his resurrected glory, he is beyond the limits of space and time that we understand and know. He is very much alive, yet very much gloriously different. He is present behind a locked door. And Jesus shows up at this first Easter evening, and he shows them the scars in his hands and the wounds in his side. And as Jesus met with that group of disciples that evening, he shows them beyond any shadow of a doubt, it is him. Jesus is alive, back from the dead, resurrected. It's Jesus. But there's just one problem with this first account. Our boy Thomas ain't there. He missed it. And that's where our teaching text picks up today. You see, when the disciples who had been there, when they had seen Jesus, when they finally catch up with Thomas, they share the news about what happened. "We've seen the Lord," is what their testimony is. Now, you might think that Thomas gives a, "All right, I've been waiting." Maybe a yay for Jesus, right, Pastor Terry? But he doesn't. He doesn't. He says in the last half of verse 25, his friends say, "We've seen the Lord," and Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Doubt. To call into question, to question the truth of something, to lack confidence. Friends, this response by our boy Thomas has earned him the nickname throughout church history, Doubting Thomas. Even though his close friends tell him the stories, recounting the details, it's not enough. Thomas has to be sure. He wanted to see Jesus, to touch the scars, to stick his hand in his side, just like everybody else. And if we slow down and we walk with this story and understand Thomas a little bit more, this is not out of character for him. If you rewind in the Gospel of John specifically, when Jesus is talking about going ahead to prepare a place for his disciples, it was Thomas who speaks up and says, "But Jesus, how are we going to know the way?" That's a practical question. That's a critical thinker wanting to know more to try to piece this thing together. This is Thomas. If we run up to the Lazarus account, when that's unfolding and Jesus says, "Hey, we're going to go, that he might be well, Thomas is the one who says, all right, let's go die with him. I mean, we read that remark and we see a little bit of maybe sarcasm, but we also see a faith that's willing to go and die with Jesus. This is Thomas. You see, Thomas is a realist. He's a thinker, a practical guy. Yes, he has doubts, but he also has faith. He has faith. Thomas has doubt and faith both, just like you and I can. Faith for Thomas is not something he just easily accepts. He has to sort it out to process it. He has to take a journey to faith. I bet Thomas would have come to first service. Friends, that's the essence of what's going on here. I think it's safe to say, let's pull back a second. I think it's safe to say that Thomas could have worded this better. He probably shouldn't have been so dogmatic to say, I will not believe. Scholars debate a little bit about this, whether it was defiant or desperate. I'm going to be honest, I'm not here to judge. But what Thomas did do right, in this moment is that he was honest about his doubts. He was honest about his doubts. He could have denied these feelings. He could have denied that and pushed it aside just so that he fit in. He doesn't. He's honest. He acknowledges. He could have pretended to be excited. He could have believed that he felt the same way, that there was no issue. But he's honest instead. He confesses his doubt. And I wonder today in this room as we process our doubts, the doubts that you might have, that I might have about Jesus, have you told anybody about that? Or are you pretending today to have it all sorted out? Have you confessed and acknowledged that I got some questions? I've got some wrestlings in this area of faith. Have you acknowledged doubt in your life? Let's continue. Because as the story continues, we will see that Thomas's choice to be honest with his doubt, to acknowledge it, to confess it, opens the door for encountering Jesus in that place. Verse 26 says, a week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. A week later. Can you imagine for Thomas the FOMO feelings, the fear of missing out? I missed it. How am I ever going to come to believe? Why? What was I doing going fishing last Sunday? I should have been there. His friends are riding high, and he's in the depth of doubt. But look at the choice he made. No matter how he felt, Thomas made a choice in the midst of that doubt. It's four words. It says, Thomas was with them. Thomas was with them. He didn't bail out because he had questions. He didn't throw in the towel. He kept coming. He kept leaning into the company of his brothers and sisters in the Lord, and Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. Friends, Thomas did not allow his doubts and question to push him away. As Jesus appears, he gives this greeting. He says, peace be with you. And then you would almost anticipate that, boy, he's getting ready to lay into Thomas, right? Thomas, you idiot, after all the teaching time we spent together, all the books you read and you still don't believe? Come on, man. Get with the program. Thomas, what's the matter with you? Can't you just believe like everybody else around you? It's not what Jesus says, is it? We might expect, or we might even be afraid that Jesus would treat doubt that way, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Rather than laying into Thomas for his doubt, Jesus lays out his nail-scarred hands with an invitation for him to trust Jesus in his doubt. Look at verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus meets Thomas right in the place of his doubts. Word for word, what Thomas said it would take, Jesus offers him. Jesus heard Thomas's confession of doubt. And he hears yours too. He always hears when his people confess their doubts. It's fascinating to me. It's a little detail that's not in the text. It's fascinating that as adamant and defiant as Thomas was about not believing until he could see, touch, and feel Jesus, we have no record that he actually did it. Seeing was enough. Jesus says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Stop spending so much of your time and energy focused on what you aren't sure of. Stop pouring yourself into your doubts and instead focus that energy on knowing me, Thomas. Stop investing in doubt and trust me first. And then let's work through those things. Stop doubting and believe. It must have been enough. Because Thomas simply responds to Jesus by saying, my Lord and my God. We don't have any record that Thomas actually touched, but he believed. He believed. With these words, Thomas not only declares that Jesus is alive, resurrected from the dead, he declares that Jesus is Lord. And notice his language. He says, my Lord and my God. This critical and practical thinker who struggles with doubt and questions has traded his doubt for personal saving faith in the Lordship of Jesus. My Lord and my God. Verse 29 says that Jesus then tells him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You see, Jesus recognizes and kind of clarifies something in this moment, that not everyone will get the opportunity to literally see and touch Jesus that Thomas did. But to those who will believe, he declares blessing. Friends, those who believe without seeing, are you and I today? And Jesus says, blessed, valued, welcome, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We're not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. We are the blessed ones who believe even though we haven't seen. As we examine this story of doubt, I want to pause just a second to zoom out. I want to see this story in the greater context that it's written and the purpose that it serves in the gospel, because that's kind of what we've been looking at throughout this series. The way John has written this out for us, the words of Thomas, my Lord and my God, are a climactic affirmation of who Jesus is. So back to this whole question that's framed our series, who is Jesus? On the lips of Thomas, we hear, my Lord and my God. And if you're tracking along, if you're following along, these words take us all the way back to the prologue. You remember the Beverly Hillbillies thing on week one? Some of you wish you could forget. On week one, we looked at the prologue and where John is opening up and he's just briefly describing all the ideas he's going to unpack. In verse 1 and 2, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. And so you take that thread all the way over to chapter 20 where we are today, and Thomas's affirmation, this critical thinking skeptic, affirms the truth of the prologue in chapter 1. Jesus is my Lord and my God. He is Lord and God. And what we see, and some of y'all are still hung up on Beverly Hillbillies and John's Gospel, you got to go back and listen to week 1. That's just all there is to it. Thomas has been on a journey. Thomas has been on a journey discovering who Jesus really is. A journey that's taken time, a journey that's taken process, a journey that's had to come through doubt. But what we see in this story is that Thomas has settled his faith in the one thing, that Jesus is Lord. And friends, that journey that we see in Thomas's life is the one and same journey that John has been inviting us on all 20 chapters so far, that we too would come to see and know Jesus as Lord, and that by seeing and believing, we would find life in his name. If you read on just a little bit further in chapter 20, John gives us this verse. We've read it every week. It says, but these things are written, this whole gospel's written, that you may believe. You, this morning, first service, Elkton, Virginia, that you may believe. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Friends, as John has preserved the story of Thomas for us, he wants to make sure that we see an example of someone coming to faith through doubt. Not to feel ashamed or excluded for asking questions, but to be encouraged. To be encouraged that even in the face of doubt, we need to lean in to tackle our doubts head on rather than allowing them to drive us away from finding hope. Friends, Jesus is not afraid of our doubts. Jesus is not afraid of your doubt today, and you shouldn't be either. You see, the big thing about doubt is what we choose to do with it. What do we choose to do with our doubts? They've already said that we're going to have lunch at 12, so I can't get into everything about doubt today. I really wish this could have been a whole series. Because Thomas is not the only person we see doubting. One other example, John the Baptist. Jesus says of John the Baptist, look, this is one of the greatest guys to ever live. And he doubts. When John is in prison and he doesn't see things happening, things are not going his way, he sends a message and basically to say, Jesus, are you for real? The greatest man doubted. Whew, that gives me some hope for my doubts today. So what do we do with our doubts? I'm not going to pretend today that we can solve all of that in 30 minutes. So I just want to look at this story and try to pull out three steps, three actions that we can take in the face of doubt. It's about what we choose to do, so what do? I want you to act in the face of doubt, A-C-T. First, acknowledge. To act on our doubt, to challenge them, we need to acknowledge the place they hold in our life. You say, is that really it? Well, I think we might find ourselves reluctant sometimes to be honest with those thoughts or feelings, to not be sure if we can talk about them. We might feel like we need to keep that to ourselves. What will other people think if they find out I have doubts? Right? Maybe you grew up in a church tradition where doubting wasn't allowed. You believe this because I said it. And maybe if you were to ask questions, it brought shame. And so we're reluctant to be honest about what we doubt. Friends, there's a lot of reasons we might deny or try to hide our doubts, but if we're going to pursue faith, if we're going to make a choice in the face of our doubts, we need to begin by admitting and acknowledging that they are there, that we have questions, that we have doubts. To be honest with ourselves is just as important as we need to acknowledge it to other people. You see, doubt concealed is deadly. Doubt concealed is deadly. Whether you doubt Jesus and his resurrection, or you doubt something like prayer works, or you doubt that God is really good, friends, take a step and acknowledge that doubt. Take a step and talk to someone about it. A trusted friend, a leader, contact myself or Pastor Terry. Just say, hey, I've got some questions I need to process with you. Tell the Lord about your doubt. Be honest with him in this journey. He already knows. Acknowledge it to him. Get those things out of the open and take action. AC, connect. In the face of doubt, to pursue faith, we need to stay connected. Connected to the Lord through prayer and worship, connected to the church through Sunday services and fellowship opportunities. That's one of the most interesting parts about our story today. Thomas was with them. Thomas was with them. He kept showing up, even though he didn't believe what his friends around him believed. He kept showing up in the midst of that emotion, in the midst of all that confusion. He kept showing up. And friends, I think that speaks to us as a culture today, because we'll divide over anything. We will literally change relationships over politics because one's left and one's right. We'll divide over anything and everything. And friends, if we allow that to come into doubt, if we allow a disagreement or a question to come in, and our first response is that we step back, where are we stepping but into our doubt and despair? And so to face our doubts, to get honest and get real, to do the hard work, we have to commit to stay connected. To keep reading our scriptures, to keep worshiping, to keep in fellowship with the Lord. That doesn't take away from the severity of the doubt. It doesn't change your mind instantly, but what it does is it positions you for Jesus to show up. Because if we have doubt and we turn away, we have nothing but despair to face. But if we will commit to stay connected and looking to Jesus, we open ourselves up for the move of his Spirit. And that's the last piece, that's the T, to trust that Jesus will meet us in the place of our doubts. That if we will commit to acknowledging and staying connected, and that we will in humility seek him, that we will see him. Now, he might not show up in your bedroom like he did for Thomas and them, but maybe he'll show up through a song on the radio. Maybe he'll show up one morning early in the deer stand for you. Maybe he'll show up through a song at Sunday service. Maybe he'll show up in life group for you. Maybe it's over a coffee with a friend. But friends, trust and believe that Jesus will meet you in your place of doubt. Continue to look to him. Trust. Trust. Friends, to deal with doubt is a decision. It's an intentional decision to shift the focus from our question and our doubt to the one who can answer it. To the person of Jesus. To trust him that he can handle our doubts. Are you doubting today? Are you doubting? Do you have questions? Welcome. Welcome, friend. Big deal about doubts, not whether you have it or not. It's what you choose to do with it. So what are you going to do? I've got questions. which most of you do too. Welcome. We're here on this journey together. Will you act on your doubts today? Will you challenge that place that it holds in your heart? Would you stand with me? If John the Baptist can have serious doubts, I have no doubt I can. What are you going to do with it? I just want to give you an opportunity today. Doubt's a journey. It took Thomas time. It might take you time. But I just want to offer you an opportunity to face your doubts today, to act on them. Pastor Terry's already in the back. She knew what I was thinking, and I didn't even tell her. I'll be up front. If you would just like someone to pray with you, you don't have to tell us what your doubt is, but just to say, Pastor, I have some questions and doubts I'm wrestling with. Would you pray with me? We're here for you. There's cards up here. There's a little table at the base of the cross. If you would like to just write what your doubt is, what that question is, what you've been wrestling with as an act of faith to say, Lord, I'm acknowledging this today to you. And I'll take that one step further. If you would like myself or Pastor Terry to contact you to have a conversation, just write your name and number on the back of it when you set it on the table. And we'll join you in that space. Friends, that's what the church is about. Let's come together in those places and seek Jesus, to seek faith. What will you do with your doubts today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for preserving for us the story of Thomas, a critical thinking, probably pragmatic, who had very real faith. And he also wrestled with doubt. And Lord, I know he's one example of many, but he's the one for today. And Lord, the story you preserve for us, he doubted your resurrection, and that's the linchpin of the whole thing. That's the whole gospel. And Lord, even that large, air quotes, large of a doubt, Lord, you met him in it with an invitation to trust you. And so today, Lord, whether our doubts are great big and huge or they're small, maybe they're even painful today. Lord Jesus, would you come as we acknowledge humbly, Lord, that we have questions, we have doubts. Lord, we're leaning in, we're confessing that to you today. We're facing you. Asking for your help. And Lord, we're going to trust that you see us and you hear us today in that place in our life. Lord, will you search us? Lead us in faith. Oh, for grace to trust you more. If you'd like to pray today, there's no pressure, just an invitation. What will you choose to do with your doubts?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.